This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. An evening of bells from Paris's Notre Dame Cathedral, an afternoon moment of silence across Europe. The Monday after a weekend full of sadness in a city that has delivered so much happiness to the world.
We'll not give up. And I said to all the tourists, we'll never give up against the tourists.
We are really, really afraid of what will be tomorrow. When we'll be up tomorrow, we have to be united. And we are scared to be divided.
We can say they are bad, but they are empty of love. And we are one of the reason why.
Thanks for listening with us to the sounds of people asking why. We are broadcasting today from the city of Chicago, and on these windy streets, the people of Ernest Hemingway's city were grieving for the people of Hemingway's Paris, the world's city of light.
How does what happened in Paris make you feel about your own vulnerability?
I mean, it's in moments like these that we begin to remember that we are all global citizens, you know, that we all are participants in, you know, what is an entire universe and an entire world.
There was Stephen from Chicago.
So in this moment, it sort of makes you become very cognizant of your own mortality. It sort of kind of makes you cognizant of how interconnected we all are. And it also makes you realize just how much we do need each other, you know, if not just on an emotional standpoint, but on a standpoint of safety.
Right behind was Juan and his friend Hugo from Colombia.
You know, this is overwhelming, you know, that this kind of stuff still happens. We are, I mean, in 21st century and still happening those stuff. And it's a damage to the heart of all the entire nation.
How do you feel?
Well, I feel very sad because, you know, in this world now, when you see things like that, for nothing.
How does what happened in Paris make you feel?
Unsafe and very, very sympathetic to the position the French are in.
Bundled up for the mid-autumn wind were ladies Abby and Nan, anxious to speak.
I feel very sad that we've reached this point where we can't get along and they have a different attitude and it just makes me sick.
What are we going to do about this?
You know, I suppose this will result in elevated state of war, and yet somehow the issues are political and religious, and I'm not sure how much war is going to do.
And just a few steps away, shy-looking and bearded, was Nicolas. He was from Paris, a long way from home.
I'm feeling okay, safer considering the terrorist attack, but I would have preferred to be close to my family and friends in Paris, in particular yesterday and the day before. More angry and sad for France and for the world considering this menace. The direction the world is taking towards this hidden war against terrorism or something like that.
All these people, a snapshot of a street corner in a world, a city wondering who's next, what's next, and then a hopeful note. When young Stephen realized Nicolas was from Paris, he silently gave him a hug. And then he and his girlfriend and his new French friend walked together down Michigan Avenue in Chicago. We are proud to be broadcasting today from WBEZ in Chicago, the home of President Barack Obama, who had a few things to say over the weekend.
The killing of innocent people based on a twisted ideology is an attack not just on France, not just on Turkey, but it's an attack on the civilized world.
That's President Obama speaking at the G20 summit in Antalya, Turkey over the weekend. This hour, a look at the attack Friday night that has already killed more than 120 and more of the hundreds injured lie on the edge of survival in hospitals around Paris at this hour. ISIS took the war into the middle of a European city and continued their war in the Middle East with a brutal bombing in Beirut targeting Shiite Muslims. More people practicing the wrong religion, according to ISIS. The Syrian city of Raqqa came under intense fire as French airstrikes attack the so-called capital of the so-called Islamic State. With me now from Paris is Sonia, a French-American who was dining outside on Friday evening. Where were you exactly when the shots were fired?
I was at a restaurant around the corner called Clown Bar on Rue Amelot, and I was sitting outside on the terrace when when people started streaming toward us, yelling that there were shooters from the concert hall.
And you heard the crowds running out of the club. And was there any sense of what was going on?
Not at all. People were just streaming toward us in the street, just running as fast as they could. So we being on the terrace immediately, you know, we heard shooters. And so we just took cover inside the restaurant. I mean, by this point, all of the glasses and all of the chairs and the tables just broke as people just started running inside.
And some terrified people from the ground pointed at you and said, you've got to take cover.
Yeah, exactly. They were just running as fast as they could and were just running past us and were just like, you have to take cover. Shooters was really what they were saying. And by that point, we deduced that we actually needed to take cover. And so everyone just started running toward the back of the restaurant. But at this point in the back of the restaurant, not everybody knew what was going on. So we had to stay down and we noticed that there were people continuing to stream toward us. And eventually someone from the concert, actually, they were banging on the door to try and let us in because by this point we had locked the door. And this woman came in just with no shoes because she had been running for her life and had lost her boyfriend and had blood on her hands and was just trying to relay to us the information that there were attackers in the Bataclan. And she managed to escape as fast as she could. She ran as far as she could.
What picture did she give you of what was going on in that club?
She just said that there were attackers and corpses everywhere. People were going down and that she was trying to hide under corpses at this point to try and get toward the exit to make a run for it as fast as she could.
Did it seem real?
I was just floored by the whole situation. I mean, seeing the panic on her face made me kind of realize, like, okay, this is really serious. This is something that at this point we weren't sure if it was happening. At this point, we had been receiving reports that it was happening elsewhere in the city, so we were just floored that it was even happening for real.
So the panic on her face took you right into that club.
Exactly. She was just kind of giving us the picture of what it was like, and then at that point, we were like, we need to stay inside. There's nowhere that's going to be safe outside if there's still attackers at large.
As the word began to spread of the scale of this attack, and eventually you made it home, how did you begin to feel about what this is going to mean for the city where you're living, for the friends and the people in your community?
I think I was still in shock by the time I got home. I don't think it was until, you know, yesterday, Sunday, where I was finally able to kind of gain some clarity and sense of that, you know, ISIS is a real threat and that these attacks are hitting a little too close to home. And so these threats need to be taken seriously.
Anger, a thoughtful analysis, fear, sadness.
I think
what cycles through your heart?
I think a mixture of fear and sadness, definitely not anger. I think that the people that did this are just angry people, but that doesn't make me angry for them. I just think that for me personally, it was fear and sadness for Paris and for all the people who had to deal with this so closely and people who actually lost their lives and know people who lost their lives. I think that was where my sadness lied, and just fear also in the sense of just wanting to feel safe in my community. And on Friday, I didn't feel safe.
Do you have a sense that this is, and for all of the world, your generation's struggle, that this, you know, sense of war, very different from the sense of war in the 20th century, is what you're going to be experiencing for much of your life?
I think that's fair to say. I mean, I was very young when 9/11 happened as well, so I don't think that this is anything that's necessarily new, unfortunately. I think that this level of vulnerability, as you mentioned, is something that has been kind of pervasive in my lifetime and in my peers' lifetimes. And in terms of like different types of security threats that we've had to deal with and kind of adjust our lives to, I think that this is just kind of an evolution of that, of those types of feelings and that type of vulnerability. And so just, I think because I'm older, I'm able to be a little bit more cognizant of the gravity of what's happening.
Sonia, get some rest today.
Thank you so much. Thanks for your time.
And thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Sonia's a French-American who was dining outside across the street from the club where ISIS shooters opened fire in the middle of a musical concert.